Hey everyone, welcome back to Meteorology Matters.
It's great to be back.
Man, January's been a wild month for weather, hasn't it? I mean, we've had everything. Raging wildfires in Southern California,
Yeah.
that crazy snowstorm across the South. It really makes you realize, doesn't it, just how much extreme weather can really impact us. And we're not even talking about the human cost,
Right.
just the financial hit from that snowstorm alone.
Yeah.
Estimated to be, what, 15, maybe even $17 billion.
It really puts things into perspective, doesn't it? The power of Mother Nature. And it makes you
Yeah.
think about, well, how these kinds of events impact us financially in ways we might not always consider.
Exactly.
So, speaking of finances, today we're going to be talking about something that hits close to home for, well, pretty much everyone, property taxes.
Okay.
But we're going to be looking at it with a bit of a twist. We're going to be focusing on how climate risks are starting to play a larger role in all of this.
Okay, so I think most people probably, think of their property taxes as just tied to the value of their home.
Right.
Is there more to it than that?
There's a lot more to it. And it's actually becoming even more complex,
Okay.
especially with the rise in these natural disasters we've been talking about. For example, one of the biggest impacts we're seeing is on insurance premiums.
Okay.
Because after a major event, like a hurricane or a wildfire, insurance companies reassess their risk. And guess what?
What?
They often raise their rates, particularly in areas that are more prone to those kinds of
Yeah,
events.
we're seeing that a lot in Florida right now. Some insurers are even backing out. They're refusing to write new policies,
Oh, wow.
especially for those waterfront properties,
Right.
the ones everybody wants. So imagine if you can't get insurance. Good luck getting a mortgage.
Exactly. I mean, and even if you can secure insurance, those premiums can really skyrocket. So that really makes homeownership in these high-risk areas, well, a lot more expensive.
Yeah, it's a major factor for people to think about
Definitely.
when they're thinking about where they might want to buy.
Absolutely. And then there's this whole other issue of property reassessments after a natural disaster.
Okay.
Because if properties are damaged, they often get reassessed at a lower value,
Okay.
which, on the surface, lower value, lower taxes.
Sounds good.
Yeah, at
Yeah.
first. But I'm guessing there's a catch.
There's a catch because municipalities still need to generate that revenue. So what often happens is they'll actually raise property tax rates across the board
Right.
to kind of compensate for those losses.
So even if your home wasn't damaged, you
Right.
could still end up paying more just
Exactly.
because there was a disaster that hit your community. It's a ripple effect.
Exactly. A ripple effect.
Yeah.
We saw this happen in Miami after Hurricane Irma, for example. Many homeowners, even in areas that weren't directly hit, ended up seeing their tax rates go up just to kind of offset the losses in the harder hit areas.
Wow. And I'm guessing it's not just hurricanes.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, the wildfires, especially out west, California especially, I
Yeah.
mean, they're having a similar effect.
Absolutely.
Higher taxes in certain areas to cover, rebuilding. Fire prevention, it adds up.
It really does. But it's good to see that some areas are trying to offer some relief to homeowners, the ones who are hit hard by these disasters.
Like what kind of relief?
Well, Los Angeles County, for example, they have a program specifically for property tax disaster relief. And essentially, if your property value drops by a certain amount, I think it's like $10,000 or more because of a disaster, you can actually apply for a temporary tax reduction, or you might even get a refund.
That's good.
Yeah.
Are there other examples out there?
There are. New York State actually recently passed a climate change property tax relief bill, and basically, it's aimed at providing assessment relief and even potential tax refunds or credits
Oh, okay.
to eligible property owners who've been impacted by these sorts of events.
So it seems like there's at least some recognition out there that this is a growing problem.
Yeah.
And some areas are trying to do something to help. What still gets me is that people are still moving to these
I
areas.
know. It's a bit of a paradox, isn't it? You think with all these increasing threats from these events, hurricanes, wildfires, floods, that people would be hesitant
Yeah.
to move to these areas,
Yeah.
but we're actually seeing the opposite.
Exactly. Like, take Florida. I mean, it's hurricane prone. We all know that. But the state still gained millions of new residents between 2000 and 2023.
Wow.
And California's Sierra Nevada region, I mean, same thing. People are moving there despite the growing threat of wildfires.
It seems like for many people, that appeal of the lifestyle, and the economic opportunities
Yeah.
often outweigh the perceived risks.
Right. Florida, sunshine, beaches,
Right.
that vibe, it's a huge draw for retirees. Anyone seeking a warmer, more relaxed kind of lifestyle. And in California, I mean, that booming tech industry,
Yeah.
the job market in the Sierra Nevada, it's pulling people in
Yeah.
and they're willing to take that risk of the wildfire.
Exactly.
So it's complicated.
It is.
People are weighing the risks, I guess,
Yeah.
against the rewards.
Rrr.
So it's a personal choice, really. But one thing that's really important to consider is that climate change is having a direct impact on property values in these high-risk areas.
Absolutely.
And it's happening in a few different ways.
Yeah, it's multifaceted. I mean, one of the biggest impacts is that it's really impacting the desirability of properties in these vulnerable areas.
That's
You
it.
know, the flood
Right.
zones, hurricane-prone areas, wildfire-prone areas. These properties, they're becoming less attractive to buyers
Yeah.
unless they have very specific features that help to mitigate those risks.
Yeah. Like I know in Florida, for example, I mean, homes that are located in FEMA-designated flood zones often require elevated foundations,
Oh, wow.
even just to be considered for sale.
That makes sense.
So if you're thinking of getting that beachfront property,
Right.
you better make sure it can withstand rising sea levels and potential flooding. Otherwise, it might be tough to sell it down the line.
Right. And buyers are becoming a lot more savvy when it comes to these insurance costs, too. I mean, we're seeing this in Miami, for example, where waterfront properties, they haven't appreciated as much
Oh, interesting.
as inland properties over, say, the past 5 years.
So even if you do snag that dream property, you
Yeah.
might end up paying a lot more
Right.
for insurance, and you might not see the same return on investment.
Exactly. And in some cases, those insurance premiums, they become so high that they make a property basically unaffordable to insure,
Wow.
which makes it basically impossible to sell or even to get a mortgage.
So this is painting a really kind of a complex picture
It is.
for anyone looking to buy or sell in these areas.
It is. And it's not just the risk of like physical damage from a natural disaster that's affecting property values and taxes. It's also the increased cost of essential services.
Oh, okay. What do you mean by that? How do those services play into this?
Well, think about it. If you're living in an area that's prone to disasters, the local government often has to spend more on things like emergency response,
Right.
like building and maintaining flood control infrastructure,
Oh, yeah.
implementing wildfire prevention measures.
I see. So those costs, they eventually get passed along to residents
Right.
in the form of higher property taxes.
Exactly. We saw this happen in Asheville, North Carolina, for example, after they were hit by a major storm. Property taxes in flood-prone areas, they went up significantly to help pay for the recovery.
So even if your home is spared during a disaster,
Right.
you could still face those higher property taxes just because you're in a high-risk area.
That's the reality of it. It's definitely something homeowners and potential homeowners need to be aware of when they're making decisions.
Okay. So this is a lot of information. Where do homeowners start, if they want to figure out how much they're actually paying?
Well, your most recent property tax statement, that's a great place to start because it should break down all the details of your current bill.
Okay. And then for those who are maybe looking to buy a new home, how can they find out about the property taxes?
Well, typically, real estate listings will include that information.
Okay.
You can also check online, usually the county website, they'll often have the annual property tax rates.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that those rates, they can change
Oh, absolutely.
based on the local real estate market
Yeah.
and all of those costs for the municipal services.
Right, and especially in those higher risk areas we were just talking about.
Exactly. Another thing people often forget about is that property taxes, they can also impact your federal income taxes.
That's
So
right.
how does that work?
Well, under the current tax laws, you can actually deduct up to $10,000 in state and local taxes,
Okay.
which includes property taxes, on your federal income tax return.
Oh, okay.
But here's the thing. If your state and local taxes exceed that $10,000 limit, you can't deduct the extra. So that's definitely something to keep in mind when you're figuring out your overall tax liability.
Yeah.
And just so you know, if you're married and filing separately, that deduction limit, it actually drops to $5,000.
Oh, wow. Okay, so there's a lot to consider
There is.
when it comes to property taxes. I mean, we talked about how insurance premiums can really surge after those disasters, how reassessments can sometimes lead to higher tax rates. And then the cost of those essential services in those high-risk areas, I mean, it can all really push those property taxes up even more. So it's becoming more and more clear that climate change is really starting to impact the cost of owning a home.
It absolutely is.
Especially in these vulnerable areas.
Yeah. And it's something that both current homeowners and potential homeowners need to be aware of.
For sure. So before we move on, I want to remind everyone to check out meteorologist Rob Jones on social media. He's an amazing resource for everything weather-related, and he always has insights on how climate change is impacting us. You can find him on Instagram at meteorologist, TikTok at TV meteorologist, and on YouTube, just search at Rob Jones Hurricane. He has a fantastic YouTube channel with a whole playlist dedicated to meteorology matters.
He's a great follow.
Yeah. So now let's dig a little deeper into how these climate risks are playing out in specific regions. And for this, we'll be focusing on Florida.
Okay, sounds good.
Stick with us.
Welcome back to Meteorology Matters. So before the break, we were talking about this complex relationship between climate risks and property values and taxes. And now we're going to kind of zero in on Florida,
okay,
a state that's really, I mean, right on the front lines when it comes to climate change.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, Florida is known for its sunshine, beautiful beaches, and that, you know, relaxed, laid-back lifestyle. It's a big draw for retirees, really for anyone, you know, looking for a change of pace.
Right. But as we've been discussing, that idyllic setting comes with its own set of challenges.
Yeah.
Especially when we talk about climate risks.
Absolutely. I mean, Florida is especially vulnerable to hurricanes, sea level rise, flooding, and all of these can have a huge impact on property values.
Yeah.
Insurance costs.
Yeah.
We touched on this a bit earlier. You know, those rising insurance premiums.
Yeah.
Particularly in Miami, for those waterfront properties.
Yeah. And it's not just higher premiums either. I mean, we're seeing some insurance companies pull out of the state entirely.
Wow.
Because of the risk.
Yeah.
Which leaves homeowners with, you know, fewer options. And then those premiums can really skyrocket. So
right.
It's a tough spot.
It is. And even for those homeowners who can still get insurance, I mean, the cost is going up and it's going up fast.
Right.
And this is partly due to the fact that, well, you know, hurricanes are becoming more frequent.
Yeah.
They're becoming more intense.
Right.
Sea levels are continuing to rise, which puts more properties at risk.
Of flooding.
So we're seeing this trend where people are drawn to Florida for that coastal lifestyle.
Yeah.
But that same lifestyle is becoming more expensive and riskier.
Yeah.
Because of climate change. So it's kind of like a paradox, isn't it?
It is. It's a bit of a paradox. And it's not just Miami either. I mean, coastal communities all along Florida's coastline, they're all facing similar challenges. I mean, think about it. As sea levels rise, erosion becomes a bigger problem.
Yeah.
And it's not just threatening properties.
Right.
It's also threatening vital infrastructure.
And of course, we can't forget the impact on property taxes.
Absolutely.
You know, we were talking earlier about how local governments in those high-risk areas, they often have to raise taxes.
Yeah.
Just to cover the costs of, you know, preparing for and recovering from these disasters.
Exactly. It all adds up.
Yeah, it really does. So it seems like homeowners in Florida, especially those in coastal areas, they're facing this kind of this triple whammy almost.
Yeah.
Rising insurance costs, the potential for their property values to actually decline.
Right.
And then higher property taxes. Mm. So it's a lot to juggle.
Still a lot to juggle.
So what's the outlook? I mean, is there any hope? Are there ways to reduce these risks? Or are we just kind of, you know, stuck with this trajectory?
Well, I think there are solutions, but it's going to take a multifaceted approach.
Okay.
I mean, it has to involve individual homeowners, local governments, the insurance industry, all working together. I mean, everyone needs to be on board to tackle this.
So for homeowners, I mean, what can they do to protect themselves?
Well, I mean, for starters, they can invest in making their properties more resilient to climate impacts.
Okay.
You know, things like elevating their homes, reinforcing roofs, installing hurricane-resistant windows. These can all make a really big difference.
Those sound like pretty big investments, though.
They can be, but I mean, these upgrades can potentially lower insurance premiums.
Yeah.
They can help protect property values over the long term. And I mean, some insurance companies even offer discounts to homeowners who take these steps.
Okay, so that makes sense. What about the role of local governments? I mean, what can they do in all of this?
Well, local governments, they play a really crucial role in adapting to climate change. You know, they can invest in infrastructure improvements, things like seawalls.
Right.
better drainage systems to help protect communities from flooding, the effects of sea level rise. And they can also update building codes to require more resilient construction in new developments, you know, build smarter from the ground up.
So we're not just reacting.
Exactly.
We're trying to get ahead of it a little bit.
Exactly. Proactive rather than reactive.
Okay. So what about the insurance industry? I mean, they're really kind of, they're on the front lines of all this.
They are.
So they must be feeling the pressure.
Oh, they definitely are. I mean, the insurance industry is really grappling with how to accurately price risk in a climate that's, well, it's constantly changing. I mean, some insurers are. They're developing new models that factor in future climate projections.
Okay.
Which can help them assess risk a bit more effectively. And some are pushing for government-backed reinsurance programs.
Okay.
And these programs would basically help to spread the risk and potentially make insurance more affordable, especially in these high-risk areas.
So it sounds like there are things being done, but it's complicated.
It is.
There are no easy answers.
No.
It makes you wonder, what about those people who can't afford to make these adaptations? Or maybe they're already struggling to keep up with those rising insurance premiums, property taxes. I mean, how do they fit into all of this?
That's a really important point because, unfortunately, climate change tends to exacerbate existing inequalities.
Okay.
You know, lower income communities, communities of color.
Right.
They often bear a disproportionate share of the impact from these climate risks because they often have fewer resources to adapt or to relocate.
So it's not just an environmental issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a social justice issue.
It is. It's absolutely a social justice issue. Addressing climate change effectively means considering the social and economic aspects as well. And it means creating policies and programs that ensure everyone has equitable access to resources and support, especially those who are most vulnerable to the effects of climate change.
It's pretty heavy stuff.
It is.
But we can't afford to just ignore these realities of climate change and how it's impacting our lives, you know, especially when it comes to something as fundamental as homeownership.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a complex and ever-evolving issue.
Right.
But understanding those risks, working together to find solutions, it's essential. And it is possible we can create a more resilient, sustainable future for Florida and beyond.
Yeah. Well, this has been a really eye-opening conversation. I feel like I have a much better grasp on how climate change is really impacting us, not just in terms of, you know, the weather we see, but our daily lives, our financial well-being. This is a big deal.
It is a big deal. And I'm glad you feel that way. I mean, it is important to have these conversations to educate ourselves.
Yeah.
To take action. I mean, we all have a part to play in creating a more sustainable future.
We do. Well, on that note, we've come to the end of this part of our discussion on climate risks and property taxes.
Right.
It's definitely a complex topic.
It is.
But we hope you've gained some valuable insight.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, knowledge is power.
Right.
And the more we understand about these challenges, the better equipped we'll be to make those informed decisions. Advocate for that positive change.
Exactly.
So before we move on, just a quick reminder to connect with meteorologist Rob Jones on social media.
Yeah.
He's an incredible source of information on all things weather related.
Yeah.
You can find him on Instagram at meteorologist, on TikTok at Cat TV Meteorologist, and on YouTube, just search at Rob Jones Hurricane. He has a fantastic YouTube channel with a playlist dedicated to meteorology matters, so be sure to check that out.
He's great.
Now, let's continue to look at how climate change is impacting us. Stick with us.
Welcome back to Meteorology Matters. You know, we've spent this episode really kind of digging into how climate change is affecting property values and taxes. And especially in those vulnerable areas, you know, like Florida.
Yeah.
It's a lot, but I think it's really important that we understand all of these connections.
It really is. It goes beyond just the financial implications too. There are some real, you know, ripple effects throughout entire communities.
Right. And you think about it, I mean, if insurance becomes unaffordable or even unavailable in certain areas, it could displace people from their homes, their communities. I mean, that's a big deal.
It is. And, you know, that displacement, it disrupts those social networks, those local economies, cultural identities even.
Right.
It's a really complex kind of web of interconnected issues.
Yeah, it is.
Stemming from these climate risks.
It can feel, I don't know, just overwhelming.
I know. Is there anything we can do, I mean, as individuals? Is there any hope that we can, you know, kind of turn this tide?
There's always hope. I truly believe that. I mean, the challenges are huge, yes, but there are things we can do to both mitigate those risks and build a more resilient future. And I think it starts with awareness.
Okay, so spreading the word.
Yeah.
You know, having these conversations, educating ourselves.
Yes.
Is that a good first step?
That's a really powerful first step. I think the more people who understand these links between climate change, property values, insurance, taxes, you know, the more likely we are to see real action, you know, from policymakers, yeah. from industry leaders. I mean, we have to make this a priority.
Okay, so what about personally? What can we do, you know, in our own lives to make a difference?
Well, we can advocate for policies that actually promote climate resilience. So, you know, investing in renewable energy,
yeah.
strengthening those building codes, you know, supporting programs that help communities adapt to climate change. Every single voice makes a difference.
Right. And I guess as consumers, we can make choices, you know, that support sustainability.
Mm.
So, you know, reducing our own carbon footprint, supporting those businesses that are environmentally conscious, even just considering the climate risks when we're making decisions about, you know, where to live.
Absolutely.
Where to work.
All of those are really important steps that individuals can take.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it really requires collective action.
Yeah.
You know, at all levels. Local, state, national, and global. I mean, we have to address those root causes of climate change, and we have to adapt to the impacts that are already here.
Yeah, it's a team effort.
It is. We're all in this together.
Well, this conversation has been really eye-opening for me. I feel like I have a much deeper understanding of how climate change is really impacting us. You know, not just the weather, but just our everyday lives.
Right.
And our financial well-being.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And I'm glad you feel that way. It's really important to have these conversations. To educate ourselves
right.
and to take action. We yeah. all have a part to play.
We do. So that brings us to the end of our show today, Meteorology Matters.
Yes.
And our deep dive into climate risks and property taxes. It's a complicated issue, but we hope you've learned something today.
We do.
Knowledge is power. The more we understand these challenges,
right.
the better equipped we'll be to make those informed decisions and really advocate for that positive change.
Exactly.
And before we sign off, I just want to remind everyone to follow meteorologist Rob Jones on social media. He is a wealth of information on all things weather. You can find him on Instagram at meteorologist, TikTok at TV meteorologist. Mm. And on YouTube, just search at Rob Jones Hurricane. He has a fantastic YouTube channel. You can find a playlist there dedicated to Meteorology Matters, so be sure to check it out. Thanks for listening.